News Radio KONP presents The Todd Ortloff Show. Now, from Port Angeles, it's Todd Ortloff.
All right, welcome once again to the program. We are going to be talking with the three Clallam County Commissioners. Randy Johnson, Marco Zayas, and Bill Peach are in the studio, and County Administrator Jim Jones is here as well, so we get the everybody from the commissioner's office. So it means there's no one left up there to even answer the phone right now, but that's okay. We've got them here to talk about some things that have been happening in the news, and certainly it's been busy with the commissioners as of late. I want to go, let's go fireworks first, because this past week had another hearing on things. There's a little bit of news coverage today about where things are at, and I guess suffice to say, trying to maybe come up with some sort of a compromise, but certainly no final decision on a possible fireworks ordinance for the county is in place. So I guess maybe I'll go to Marco Zayas first, since this all started with you. It seems like a long time ago when this first was brought up, but is that correct in kind of an assumption as how things stand now after this last public hearing?
Well, yeah, Todd, the conversation that we had at the close of the public hearing was a recognition that there are a number of opportunities for compromise here, which to me anyway seems quite appropriate based on the clearly large interest among the populace and the passion that's really felt on both sides. And there are several different ways that we can look at achieving a compromise. And so we'll be scheduling a work session discussion to talk about that here probably another month or 6 weeks or so as we can fit it into the schedule. And I'm interested to see how that goes. But it was as I said, I think this is a really good opportunity to try and strike a compromise.
One of the things, and we've talked about this more than once now, is that when you proposed this as an outright ban, you were really just trying to get something on the table. So I guess the question is, are you satisfied with the fact that it's probably looking like it's not going to be what was first presented?
Yes, you know, I was approached by a group of citizens in my district who had significant concerns, and that coupled with the actions that the cities of Port Angeles and Sequim have taken, to me were all good reasons to prompt a conversation. And my thought was that if you start with suggesting some compromise that doesn't have any basis in input from the public, then that doesn't really get to the conversation mm-hmm. that was necessary. So my experience here throughout this process has been that we have heard loud and clear from both sides. We have heard a lot of suggestions from citizens for what an appropriate type of compromise might be from their perspective. And so my hope is that will guide our future conversation.
All right. Bill Peach, we'll talk to Bill next, because I know that your district in particular had a lot of folks that kind of emerged as against having a ban over time. And I know one of the things you wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to weigh in on this again as well. And I think it was good for the commissioners to have that night hearing one more time as well, so people could make it in if they had been working and such. Your thoughts about where things are at right now, you know, in this whole conversation and really the process of it?
I believe that we're being really honest in terms of listening to both sides. Sometimes people get very emotional. And some of those conversations get difficult, but one recurring thing that I hear is that there are people that decide to let their fireworks without any regard to their neighbors and even any regard to the rules. And that part of solving the problem is one that I'm personally wrestling with. I had somebody call me the day after the 4th. The neighbors the night before had been throwing M80s in his yard. And against the house, and he was literally concerned about trying to go out there and deal with the people that were involved. If they're crazy enough to throw M80s, what else would they do? So the issue that I've been wrestling with is how can we enforce this? You really think that calling the police when the bad guys figure out all they got to do is have a couple of M80s to guarantee the police go someplace while they do something else is a good idea? I don't. I do think that neighborhoods can participate in this solution. Exactly how we're able to share information with neighborhoods that, you know what, in your neighborhood you had 10 reports on this individual or this couple of houses. You know, there's probably a bunch of rules to make sure that false reporting doesn't take place. But that, I think, is going to take us in a direction where we help some of the people having the biggest problems. And that is, you know, I referred to it just recently as the blockhead. That blockhead mentality is something that does cause problems, that does have the potential to hurt somebody. As far as the rest of the West End, you know, I think that the petition with 600 signatures right. against it is a pretty clear statement. I do see, though, that it's not just a one district issue, and finding, you know, some solutions that work in all districts. That's really what I'm about.
Right. All right, Randy Johnson, let's talk a little bit about the Port Angeles area, since that's your district. I know that how was the 50-50? How have been comments to you from people that you represent?
It was probably 50-50, but yeah. Being quite honest, the comments and the emails, it seems like they always come in a bunch, all banning, right. all keep fireworks forever, there should be no regulations right. whatsoever, and that's always difficult. And a little bit of the other issue are a lot of people participating are people that are mindful of fireworks. And my statement beginning, because my wife reminds me of this all the time, is the bottle rocket that went sailing through the roof of our barn and burned a hole through it. And so right. that's the issue where people aren't minding what they should be doing right. or not caring about the neighbors. And so certainly I understand that proponent or that part of it. The other issue is this is a wide-ranging county in the way of both moisture and relative climate. So when one looks at the differences in different areas. And when Fire District 2 came forward with the proposal that we had, what, 1 week's notice and something. And he said, you know, if it really gets dry and you have a big wind, even if it had been a relatively damp, you can have really very difficult kind of situation, need to worry about fire danger. And I get that. So we need to actually tighten down, I think, a little bit more on that, because I don't think anyone, I mean, suddenly we want to wake up and say, gee, we just burned, you know, 30 houses because of a forest fire. Well, we don't want to go there. We want to make sure we can protect, you know, individuals' property rights, obviously, in that case, too. So, you know, but all comments, I mean, and I get that, and I appreciate it. And Bill had mentioned earlier about Klon Bay CQ, and I've said that several times, and I hadn't thought about that, but they, of course, it's a big celebration out there.
Big deal with
on the beach. Right, yeah. Yeah, and it's a great thing, and I recognize that's something that's very important to that community. So we want to protect that right, too. So therefore, you end up with the conundrum that we all have. Exactly. That's why we're still working on it.
And I think, I'm not sure, maybe you've noticed as well, but looking at some comments, at least as I followed it, the same argument is used for and against. You have the same freedom argument for and against. I mean, and
exactly.
I'm not making light of it. It's a reality.
It is an absolute reality, right? and we've seen them for and against and exact almost.
You just kind of replace a couple of words, and it's you know, the exact opposite argument. So I get it. So Mark, maybe back to you, since you're kind of in charge of getting this group in order in some ways. What's next? Work session this thing, obviously. I mean, we're kind of getting out of fireworks season for now, but what do you see as a timeline for a next step?
Well, I would hope that probably in August or early September will be the next step of this discussion. We do have a lot of important things on our agenda that we need to continue to work on, and this is, you know, this is a long-term issue. And so I think that we've talked about various aspects of evolving this ordinance. You heard Commissioner Johnson talk about the definition of fire danger, and are there pieces that we need to look at there to help improve safety. We can look at striking compromises based on geography, based on timing. Former County Commissioner Martha Ireland had what I think was a really excellent suggestion, which we're also gonna look into and follow up on as an option. That currently county ordinance allows for local neighborhoods to come together and create a no firearms zone. You know, in other words, you know, a discrete neighborhood might decide, well, it's not appropriate for people to do target shooting in their backyards anymore. And she suggested that perhaps that ordinance or a similar one might be a way for local neighborhoods where there's a group of neighbors who feel very similarly to apply that same logic to fireworks. And so to me, that is also well worth looking into. I expect that we'll discuss all of these options, and you know, this board always works to try and find a respectful compromise, and again, there seems to be ample opportunity for that. So once we develop an ordinance that the three of us feel like we can be supportive of, then we will take that back out to the public, and there will be another public hearing process where we can take input, and we'll see where that leads us.
All right. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back and talk a bit about some other big news, and that's discussion of a finance department and perhaps an ask for a change to the charter to allow something like that to move forward. And we'll chat about that with our county commissioners right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
Did you know that the Port Angeles Senior Center offers guided meditation? This self-directed group meets upstairs at the Port Angeles Senior Center at 11 a.m. on Sundays. Volunteers take turns reading the visual meditation for the group. All are invited to participate in the guided meditation group, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Port Angeles Senior Center at 7th and Peabody. Admission is a $2 donation. Everyone is welcome.
Discover the gift shop in the Port Angeles Senior Center. Every item is handmade or homemade by local artisans. We have gorgeous jewelry, baby zip-back sweaters, and handmade cards, which are just a few of the wonders in our gift shop treasure chest at the Port Angeles Senior Center, 7th and Peabody. Shop hours are Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's great for special occasions and everyday shopping needs.
If it looks a little crowded here at Swain's General Store, it's no wonder. Swain's annual parking lot sale is on through the end of July. It's Swain's biggest summer sale with thousands of items on sale like Riggs men's work jeans, just $16.87, and women's apparel from Woolrich up to 60% off. And if you're hungry, get a hot dog, Pepsi, and ice cream for only $1. If I were you, I'd hurry in now. The parking lot sale is on at Swain's General Store, Port Angeles.
All Weather Heating and Cooling is your Carrier authorized dealer. The Infinity System by Carrier is one of the most energy efficient home comfort systems on the market. Contact All Weather Heating and Cooling today or go to Carrier.com.
Kelsey from Pacific Motorcycle here. If you BMXers are getting geared up for the season, you have got to check out our selection of youth helmets, riding gear, boots, and gloves. We are stocked up and carry a bunch of cool styles, colors, and designs. Pacific Motorcycle at 221 South Peabody is your neighborhood bike shop and invites you to stop in and see all of our new inventory for youth and adults.
Call 360-417-9554. Matt and Kelsey are here to serve you with over 20 years experience and quality service and workmanship.
Callis & Associates Insurance, a name respected for professionalism, service, and value. Get the protection you need from Callis & Associates Insurance at the corner of 8th and Vine, 452-2314.
Come dance and help raise money for homeless veterans in our area. Pennies for Quarters presents Black Diamond Junction at the Elks Ballroom in Port Angeles, July 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. BDJ has been voted best band on the peninsula for 2 years in a row. 100% of the proceeds from this event goes to Pennies for Quarters efforts to develop housing for homeless vets. Tickets are $15 per person, $25 per couple at brownpapertickets.com and at the door, and includes appetizers.
All right, we're back with more county commissioners. All three of them are here, actually. We have the county administrator, Jim Jones, in as well. And I guess Jim's going to be a little bit of a tacit to discussion to this next part of the conversation. And that is some other news that's been kicked around this week. And that has to do with rearranging, really, the organizational structure, if you will, or at least the approach to how budgets are drafted and administered and such moving forward. Could we be a what would be called a finance department being perhaps created? But in the end, it really is a decision I know the county commissioners have been talking about in work session for a while. It's just now started to bubble up a bit more because, well, it's getting serious that the guy that's doing budgets is going to be leaving here pretty soon and retiring. So let's talk about finance departments. Mark, I'm going to go to you first just to, you know, just talk about this whole idea that was floated out there. And I want to talk more about the whys than really what the mechanism of this might be.
Well, sure. What we have learned over the course of time is that in county government, the finance function is spread out literally through every department in the county. And while there may be some benefits to that, there are also a lot of drawbacks in that it is very difficult to obtain information and data in a timely manner. It's difficult to have that be consistent sometimes. And we don't have access sometimes to the information that we need to make good decisions. So there are a lot of good reasons for looking at doing things differently. And we have engaged in this investigative process, I think, in a really thorough manner. Commissioner Johnson has worked with the auditor and treasurer and staff from their offices, as well as our budget director, to go to other charter counties and learn how they handle this function. We've learned that most every other charter county does, in fact, have some form of finance department or chief financial officer. Certainly, that model is common among other public agencies like hospitals and school districts. And then we've worked with our finance committee and in a very public fashion at least our last two finance committee meetings, in addition to work session discussions, to elevate concerns and talk about what model might be right for Clallam County. So we're hoping that the voters this fall will approve a charter change that will allow us to create a chief financial officer position and consolidate the oversight of county finances. And the other piece that I want to call out real briefly that is vital to recognize is that our charter has tasked the county administrator with a very broad and difficult job, that being both management of the organization and management of the budget. And just management of the organization is difficult enough. Jim has 12 or 13, I think 13 direct reports. Anyone who has managed people knows that that's a very high number. And so in order to make sure that we are being efficient and effective with taxpayer dollars, it makes really good sense to the commissioners to create a chief financial officer position to make sure that we're tending all aspects of the organization with care.
All right, so the concern has been that this does away with what is a finance committee now, which is made up of the treasurer, auditor's office, and also a member of the commissioner's office, as well as the administrator and such. Address that, if you will. Does this get rid of that, or does it do something similar? Compare and contrast.
No, it definitely, we will, of course, maintain the finance committee. The commissioners have found great value in the finance committee and have really appreciated the work that group has done over the last several years, including hosting this conversation. So while the finance committee is literally comprised of the treasurer, the auditor, and the chair of the Board of Commissioners, what citizens have seen over at least the last several years has been that all three commissioners have been attending finance committee meetings. Treasurer's staff, the auditor and her staff, have been attending meetings, as well as the administrator and the budget director. So we haven't literally expanded the committee, but we view it in an expansive way because that is such a valuable group.
All right. So that something of that function is going to continue then.
Oh,
it
absolutely.
Sounds like even if there is a finance department, I say that kind of in quotes as to
my,
what that's
my, called. My supposition is that should the voters see fit to affect this change in our charter, mm-hmm. that the chief financial officer, when that person eventually comes on board, would be an integral addition to the finance committee.
Now, I'm going to go over to Randy and talk a bit with him because he has been doing the research on other charter counties. Of course, if we weren't a charter county, it'd be kind of a different game, I guess. You wouldn't have to go to voters necessarily to make a change. It could just be done kind of administratively or through the commissioner's office. But we are a charter county. But what we just talked about during the break heading into this is that sounds like the majority of other charter counties are doing something similar already. Is that a safe assumption?
Well, my understanding is that all the other charter counties have a finance department, and certainly we pulled the information from Whatcom County. We visited with Snohomish County and looked how they did that. Also visited Pierce County. They all had different iterations, including the IT department was in one, or the risk management. Where does that go? That doesn't need a charter change, but the whole department, the whole concept of how we analyze things, how we budget, and just again a very simple thing, a normal metric for any of us is when you have a budget, you then want to compare to your budget as you go. Those two are normally wed together, and as it is, we have one that Jim does, and as Mark said, Jim has that duty as well as multitudes of other, you know, as well as Debbie, who reports to Jim in that office. And then all of us turn around and go over to the auditor's office and sit with Stan Creasy, who is working on a whole bunch of other things. And what really started this, you know, being quite honest, is we pulled back and started looking at what I call the revenue side of things, which is also very important to any county and all the taxpayers. And the very first thing we did was, you know, was pull back the onion on the DNR. And we start looking at actual payments. And here's something, it's not just to us, but it's us and all the junior taxing districts, and it's $7 million that flows in the county. But who does that analysis? And to then task our administrator to do that, oh, by the way, he still has 13 direct reports.
And here's another
thing. Oh, by the way, and here's one more thing. And how about the accounts receivable that we have over here? Well, who's going to, you know, where are we? What's going on? And so just having all that financial information organized in a systematic manner is what we're trying to find. And I think this methodology, certainly based on the other counties, makes a lot of sense. We're not doing away with the auditor's office. She is a line coming out the front door every single day, as well as, guess what? We have all the elections, and we're not making any changes in the treasury function. And as Mark said, we still have a finance committee looking at investment philosophy about how you invest and do all the other things. So all these things are still in place. We want to keep those in place.
Yeah, so the checks and balances, if you will, of the auditor's office, the treasurer's office, is going to remain under this proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Bill, over to you just for a comment about this. Bill Peach, about, you know, how are you feeling about this, and maybe just kind of in the setup? And again, I think this is something that I know, having followed some of the discussions going on with the replacement of Jim Jones, this has been going. It's been a discussion that's not, this isn't a brand new discussion per se.
Not at all. And, you know, in the interest of providing continuous services to the public, and in the interest of maintaining, you know, very good staff, highly qualified and highly motivated staff, it's important for us to take a look at things that are going to happen to us between now and 5 years. That's something we don't really do well. And a lot of it has to do with coordination. You know, we've got changes that occur. We're dealing with one on the court system, and we've got changes that are thrust on us, let's just put it that way, unfunded mandates. How do we adapt to it and still maintain services and still maintain, you know, well-motivated staff? I don't think that just, oh my gosh, I'll tell you what, I'll go and chop a bunch of staff out as a good solution, you know. When it turns out what you were dealing with was a bubble, you just didn't have the data to recognize, or you didn't crawl into the issue well enough to understand it's a passing issue. It's got it. So I believe sincerely that we owe it to the community, and all of our staff are part of that community, to look very hard at what's out in front of us and be sincere about what actions we're going to take to maintain the services. And that's what this is all about.
All right, we're going to take a break. I want to come back, and we'll kind of pick up on this a little bit more, because I think it goes into part two of this is, how do you replace the administrator? Because that's another big part of what's happening as the current one is going to be retiring here in just a couple of months. And we'll chat a bit more about that with the three county commissioners right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
How would you like greater control over your electric account? Hi, this is Clallam PUD, and our SmartPay prepaid account lets you manage your account and track your daily usage from the convenience of your computer or smartphone. Did you know the typical prepaid customer uses 10 to 12% less energy than they did before? It works just like a prepaid cell phone plan. No deposits, no late fees, no billing statements. Visit clallampud.net for more information and find out if SmartPay might be right for you.
Your parrot is so cute. What's his name?
That's Fred. He loves to talk.
Talk? Fred, can you talk?
Fairmount Grocery.
He loves Fairmount Grocery.
Any snacks? Beer and wine.
I love it.
At Fairmount Grocery, you're in and out quick with all kinds of good things to eat and drink.
You can kill two birds with one stone.
Kill two birds with one stone? Are you crazy?
Oops.
He's sensitive.
Fairmount Grocery, West 101.
The new Quarter Pounder with cheese is all new at McDonald's. Enjoy a juicy, cheesy, fresh beef Quarter Pounder at your nearby McDonald's.
The city of Port Angeles will be addressing important safety concerns on the 8th Street Bridge, and it'll affect the way motorists get around for a while. Beginning Monday, work will get underway to install a pedestrian fence on the bridge. The eastbound traffic lane will be closed. Westbound lanes will remain open. For pedestrians, a sidewalk on one side of the bridge will also stay open. As you can imagine, merchants and businesses along that part of 8th Street are concerned about customers getting to their places of business. So let's make an effort to support these local businesses and help them through this temporary traffic alteration. Again, the work will begin this Monday. It's estimated the project will continue until September 14th. Of course, with any projects, dates may change, and we'll keep you posted. So starting Monday, the eastbound traffic lane will be closed and the westbound lane will be open at the 8th Street Bridge. And again, let's all try to support those affected businesses in the neighborhood. Okay, thanks. A message from the city of Port Angeles.
Everything you need to get your day started.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is America's dream team.
The Breakfast Show on News Radio KONP.
Russian leader Vladimir Putin could be coming to the U.S. this fall. In a tweet, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says during the summit in Helsinki, the president asked National Security Advisor John Bolton to invite Putin and says discussions are already underway. It comes as National Intelligence Director Dan Coats says he was just doing his job when he issued a statement reaffirming that Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election. He also pushed back on the president's suggestion that there could be others.
We know others have potential capability. But it's undeniable that the Russians are taking the lead on this.
Coates speaking at the Aspen Security Forum. Last hour at the White House, the president signed an executive order creating the National Council for the American Worker. It's made up of government workers tasked with working with business leaders to create new workplace development programs. At the close on Wall Street, all the major indices were lower. The Dow down 134 points. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Here's your AccuWeather.com forecast. It'll be partly sunny this afternoon, today's high 66. Clear to partly cloudy tonight, low 50. Mostly sunny tomorrow, Friday's high 67. Clear skies tomorrow night, low 49. And Saturday, partly sunny with a high of 70. Sunday will be another sunny one with a high of 77. And Monday, sunshine, high 80. For weather anytime, download the free AccuWeather app. For AccuWeather.com, I'm Sally Sherman.
All right, we're back with more as we talk with the county commissioners. We've been talking a little bit about finance departments and kind of setting things up in perhaps a different approach to budgets. And part of what's driving this as well is a change at the administrator level. And Mark Ozias, I'll go back to you and talk a bit about that, just kind of an update. I mean, we're getting down to just a couple. Now you're starting to count weeks, although I think Jim Jones might be counting hours at this point. But you do have a big change coming.
That's right. We do have a big change coming. And before I get into that, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge all of the service that Jim has provided to the citizens of Clallam County over the course of many years. And, you know, being in the position that he's in, you inevitably, take a lot of guff from a lot of people for a lot of reasons over the course of time. And my observation as commissioner has been that Jim works incredibly hard and with a gracious heart on behalf of the citizens of Clallam County. So, Jim, thank you. And that being said, yes, we've got a big transition coming up. I'm happy to say that we had our first blush of candidates here last week. And there's been a high level of interest in the position. We've had interest from local candidates and from applicants from 13 or 14 different states. So we've got a great pool to choose from. We expect to work to narrow that list down. We will be engaging our county leadership team, and ultimately, when we get down to a final couple of candidates, I would imagine the public as well in helping to bring that new person on board. And to relate this to our previous conversation about the finance department, one of the things that we heard from our recruitment firm is the only concern that candidates or potential candidates had was, boy, that job managing the organization and the finances is pretty broad, and that's pretty unusual. And there's concern from applicants that's too much. And so that, for us, helps to underscore the importance of the work that we're doing to try and create a chief financial officer position so that our new administrator can be well supported.
It is, I'll say this now. I've known Jim for a long time. He's an interesting hybrid in what you have there as an administrator at this point. Somebody who's very versed in budget stuff, and then able to kind of do some of the day to days as well. But you know, it's kind of the old how many plates in the air can you keep them up there? At some point, you'll drop one.
Well, that's right, and as with everything else, county government is increasingly complex. And there are many, many aspects of organizational development that we want and need to tend to. And we've already talked about all of the work that we would like to see done in terms of developing a better picture of our finances. So all of these come together, and it is not going to be possible to find one person, nor would we want to really try and find one person who can do it all, because that's not fair to the organization as it exists now, which has evolved quite a bit from even 10 or 12 years ago when Jim was hired as administrator. Mm-hmm. Things are different, and we're trying to acknowledge that and plan for the future.
Bill Peach, what are you looking for in a new administrator? I mean, are there some qualities specifically you as a commissioner? Because ultimately, you're all tasked with making the hire here. What makes a good administrator in your mind, especially at this point where the county's at?
You know, one of the things that I really respect about the approach Jim takes is to address issues before they become a big issue. You know, and I've learned that in my past. You can refocus what you're doing, address what is currently occurring, maybe spend a few hours on it with a good meeting with the right people and have an open and honest discussion. But if you ignore it, a couple of weeks later, now everybody's hair is on fire. And you had the chance to stop all that and didn't. So good communication skills have to rank at the top of the list there. And respect, you know, that's one of the things I see Jim doing well. If you show that respect, you'll receive that, and you are able to get an honest answer when you ask a question that really does need an honest answer. So being able to communicate effectively with the public is also very important. Sometimes people genuinely want to know, genuinely, because they don't understand. And sometimes they want to know because there's some other agenda. And having the political skills to sort out those two questions and really get at what is it that they need and what is it that they want, those are all really, really important skills. So leadership is, to me, one of the big priorities.
And again, to re-echo kind of what Mark had said about, the search has said, finding somebody who can do both the finance and some of those skills becomes problematic, I guess might be a good way to put it.
And, actually in a large organization today, with the kind of money that we manage, someone from the outside looking in saying, gee whiz, you don't have a CFO. What does that mean about your future? Are you stable?
Good point. All right, Randy, same question. What makes a good candidate for replacing Jim Jones as the next administrator?
Obviously, Bill and Mark have already alluded to the fact, good communication skills, yeah. Leadership qualities, very, very important. And I appreciate the fact that we have a outside firm that's working with us to find this person. And Mark mentioned the number of people from many different states, whatever. I think the total was 32 to begin with. So we certainly had a good applicant pool to begin with. And that is really important. But also, if one thinks about that particular job and 13 direct reports and actually looking, ranging from the road department in one side, the juvenile department over here and whatever, and spending time and really thinking about what we're doing, where we're going, as well as having the budget be responsible directly for the budget. And in fairness to Jim, and I'll echo what Mark said, thanks to all the time Jim puts in, but he's in at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. in the morning most of the time, and he's still there when I, at 5:30 many, many days. And is that really fair to that person as well as to all the citizens in the county to really focus on all the different issues that we happen to have? And again, that issue of communication skill and leadership quality are absolutely important, but also what's the span of control, they say, in management? No more than 6 or 7 direct reports, and here we are, as well as being responsible for the budget. It just means you need to rethink your organization, and that's part, therein's part of the reason a lot of the finance department, also the way we're looking. The final thing is the fact that this, the executive search firm that we're looking at has reached out to all the direct reports and other electeds to get their input, what really makes sense for this next person. So it's not just the commissioners, it's all the other key people that are involved in running county government. And of course, that overlaid with all of us together, is a good way, I think, to arrive at someone that will be, very good for the county. So.
All right, Mark, I'm going to go back to you in just a bit. So you're hiring a new administrator, went back to kind of the CFO, I'll call it that position, or whoever might be in charge of the finance department, if that's it. That's not necessarily a new hire, from what I understand. I mean, that's still to be determined in some ways as to who would fill that position. Is that right?
I don't think that we know for certain how to think about that. What I can say is that we would hope not to add any additional employees, and we expect that we can achieve the function with some sort of an internal rearrangement. Exactly how that works, there's just too much in flux right now to be able to point to exactly how that will work.
Okay. Timeline, Jim says he's going to be able to stick around maybe till October or so. Well, that's coming up pretty fast. So what's next? Where are we at?
Well, with the thorough nature of the search that we're doing, I expect that we will, ideally anyway, have a new administrator identified sometime during the month of October. Jim has been gracious enough to offer to work with the commissioners and with the county in whatever capacity seems most appropriate and most helpful. I know that all the commissioners are interested in a smooth transition, as are others around the county. So we will, as the search timeline starts to become a little bit more definitive, we're going to continue to work with Jim and develop a path forward that will, in fact, allow for a smooth transition.
All right. As we kind of wrap things up, I'll talk with Jim just a bit about some of these impending changes. I guess in some ways you get to see the cusp of them, but you don't get to see what might actually happen. But a lot of this has to do with your retirement. So I guess kind of your thoughts about that. And also, have you been consulted? You know, has anybody asked you about what the job ought to be like, I guess, as somebody who's done it for 12 years in the capacity here in Clallam County?
Well, answer the second question first. We've had regular communication about this. All three commissioners, both with me individually and as a group, we've talked about it a number of times because, you know, a full year ago, I gave them notice that I was really looking to go when I turned 65, the end of August, and so we need to talk about if you're going to reorganize, this is the time to do it, because it probably is going to be very, very difficult. And Mark and Randy are both right. This job has, in the 12 plus years that I've been in it, it's changed remarkably. It's changed dramatically. Become much more focused out of necessity on risk management issues than it was when I first got here. The budget data that we now prepare and we analyze and we look at, I used to do a lot of this stuff just because I didn't mind. I was curious. I want to know myself, but I never presented it to anybody. And, you know, this group of commissioners has had a very, very strong interest in really developing the metrics on a much more systematic basis, and we've done that. It takes more time, but really the organization has dramatically changed. And you talk about all these direct reports and big departments. These are not just people who report to me. These are people who have people reporting to them, and that is a much bigger issue. So yes, we've talked a lot about. You know, what does it take to do this kind of a job? I've grown with the job, but it does mean that you have to every day work 10, 11 hours and be willing to work 12 or 13. You have to. Stuff comes up. And in any job, people have asked me a lot, and I have a number of these candidates, I think four of the people who have applied actually called me before they decided, and, you know, one of them met with me and the other three called, you know, to talk about what's involved, what's a job like, and what's this deal about this, you might have a chief financial officer, right? And so, yeah, there's been a lot of discussion. It probably is a job that shouldn't be left to one person, and not because you're afraid of working somebody. My God, you know, anybody that's going to come into this category of work is going to do whatever it takes to get the job done. That's almost a given. You can't be eligible to be a legitimate candidate for something like this if you're going to be a clock watcher. You just can't. So I don't think that's going to be a problem. The issue is, what are you in danger of dropping? What are you in danger of missing? And I think there's the delineation that has to happen, that the day-to-day focus of the whole organization and even planning. I've really resisted doing some significant long-term planning for a lot of reasons, but chief among them is because it takes so much time for something that you're likely never to have occur. And I just don't have that time. So I just don't. Mm-hmm. And so I think splitting the job is the right thing to do. I can tell you 13 years ago when I applied and was talking to my predecessor, Dan Engelbertson, he told me upon retirement his number one job was going to be he was going to get himself on the Charter Review Committee, and he was going to force a vote on you know, switching out and changing to a chief financial officer. So this is not a new thing. I think it's important to understand that no other organization in the state of Washington, and I mean that, no other governmental entity, no nonprofit, no private organization has anything but a centralized finance department. It's only the 32 non-charter counties and us who don't do
right,
that.
Right. That's it. And it can't be that everybody else is wrong and these 32 entities are right. It just doesn't work.
As I like to say, it's not your grandpa's Clallam County anymore, is it?
It is not.
Very
it
good. Not. Well, congratulations on almost getting there. We'll get to talk with you a couple more times before this is all done, though. But Jim Jones, thanks for coming in today. Good to see you. We're almost out of time. Randy Johnson, good to have you in as well. Commissioner for the Central District, also East End Commissioner Marco Zayas. Always a pleasure having you here. And for the West End, Bill Peach, Commissioner. Thanks for coming in as well. We're going to take a break and get caught up here, and we'll take a look at news coming up in just a shake. Stick around.
At the North Olympic History Center, we're sort of giving away money in the form of student scholarships. It's our new hands-on history contest. We help students select something from Clallam County's history to research and organize into a research paper. Students start by picking up an official entry form in person or from our website. For more information, just phone us, the North Olympic History Center, 452-2662. Entry forms are available now and must be filled out and given back to us by October 19th, 3:30 p.m. We'll provide a must-attend orientation to the Hands-On History Project in November, and in February, we'll provide a free workshop on research paper writing. Student research papers due 11/59/59 next March 21st. Awarding of scholarships April 17th. Call us, the North Olympic History Center, 452-2662.
It's the new go-to website for information right at your fingertips. MyClallamCounty.com. Make it your new homepage for local, national, and world news, plus weather, sports, and entertainment news. But that's only the beginning. MyClallamCounty.com also has complete information for the cities of Port Angeles, Squim, and Forks. Ferry information, updates from the Washington Department of Transportation, Olympic National Park, live weather webcams, community events, and so much more. Radio Pacific presents MyClallamCounty.com with live streaming of all three radio stations. News Radio KONP 101.7, Rock Classics Z104.9, and Straight Country 102.1. You can listen to your favorite radio station anywhere. MyClallamCounty.com. It's the new all-purpose website with up-to-date information that's countywide and Clallam County first. Make it your homepage. Add it to your favorites. MyClallamCounty.com, a service of Radio Pacific.
It's an affordable medium, and as far as the reach, the way that we can tell our story, it's definitely more affordable than others.
Kelly Fox of Hartnagel Building Supply and Angelus Millwork has discovered the easy, economical way to reach customers, old and new, on the radio.
We've had great success because it is local and our customers listen. I think our customers like to be connected with what's going on and the happenings in our community that we only get on local radio. And so that personality and that ability to tell our story is so critical.
Let our marketing experts demonstrate how affordable, effective, and fun promoting your business can be on the radio. Find out more. News Radio KONP 101.7 FM, 1450 AM, or listen to KONP.com. Call today, 360-457-1450.
Whatever we want to do, we can accomplish with radio, and so that's been great. It's just fun.
After an ambitious first term as Clallam County Commissioner, Bill Peach deserves our support in his re-election bid. Just as he promised, Bill Peach has delivered in opposing tax increases and providing prudent financial management. Meeting challenges head-on, Bill has been a vocal advocate of the drug court and addiction recovery programs to fight the opioid epidemic. He's pressed for expanding the Discovery Trail. And Peach has doggedly promoted the interests of Clallam County in Olympia. Bill Peach, leading by doing, serving on 20 various committees working for the West End, tribal interests, business, veterans issues, the environment, and more. Let's re-elect Bill Peach. Common sense, leadership, hard work.
This is Bill Peach asking for your vote to return as Clallam County Commissioner, District 3, paid for by the committee to elect Bill Peach, Republican.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm Junior Bacon Cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Stick out your tongue and say, ah, it's the craziest thing you ever saw. Here at Olympic Game Farm, they say howdy with a wave of a paw. Now it's hard to steer clear of the elk and the deer when they pop in to say hello. They've got lions and tigers and bears.
Oh,
don't forget about the buffalo. It's impossible to say calm. So come out with your dad and your mom. Canine and feline, you'll find us online at onlygamefarm.com.
It's 4 minutes in front of 2 o'clock. We'll have ABC News coming up in just a minute, and then the Dave Ramsey Show comes your way.
It's never too late to think about how you can save money on your home heating and cooling costs. Hi, this is Clallam PUD inviting you to the next in our residential energy seminar series. Learn about high-efficiency heat pumps and meet the contractors who specialize in this topic. The seminar will be held on Thursday, August 2nd at 1 o'clock p.m. and again at 6 o'clock p.m. at our Carlsberg main office. Visit clallampud.net for more information and to see upcoming topics. Clallam County PUD, bringing energy to life.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Washington Army National Guard. Aired by the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
From ABC News, Tech Trends, it's a clear sign of the times. Verizon Wireless has announced that it will no longer activate phones that are 3G-only devices.
All phones activated by Verizon going forward need to be capable of running. They need to be 4G LTE capable, basically.
So that old flip phone or really old smartphone that you may have stashed in a drawer somewhere is now a paperweight. Dana Wallman with the tech blog and Gadget tells us it's another clear sign that we're inching closer to next generation cellular connectivity.
I think you're going to see more activity around 5G from the various big telecom networks, either at the very, very tail end of this year or toward the beginning of next year. It's really a race right now between the big four carriers.
And Wallman says all of those big wireless carriers have different strategies for rolling out that new technology.
Some providers realize that they might be able to launch faster using hotspots and then start supporting more phones.
With Tech Trends, I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
What interest rate would you rather pay on your credit card debt? 17% or less than 6% APR? The answer is obvious, LightStream. Because with LightStream, you may be able to consolidate credit card debt and dramatically cut your interest rate to as low as 5.89% APR with AutoPay. Plus, radio listeners get an additional rate discount. Just go to LightStream.com/summer. With average interest rates on credit card debt at 17% APR, LightStream could save you thousands in interest. And because LightStream is a division of SunTrust Bank, one of the nation's largest and strongest financial institutions, you can have complete peace of mind. The application takes just minutes, and there are no fees and no pressure. Just lower rates, one low fixed monthly payment, and huge savings. So if you have good credit, apply today and get a special interest rate discount when you go to LightStream.com/summer. That's LightStream.com/summer. LightStream.com/summer.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for more information.
News and talk for the North Olympic Peninsula. News Radio KONP, Port Angeles, Squim. FM 101.5.